Blog Talk Radio.
I ain't got nothing but three things to say about that.
Join the Love in the Skin You're In Blog Talk Radio Show, and I'm your host, Andrea Amador. I'm the author of the book, Love in the Skin You're In, and I'm a curvy and confident body image expert and empowerment coach, and I'm walking the talk of body acceptance and personal power. I'm offering this show to you as my gift, as a woman who spent years upon years hating my body and knowing really what it feels like to never quite feel good enough. In the coming weeks, we'll be having plenty of guests to share their expertise with you on exactly what it means to love the skin you're in. I want you to really, you know, stay in tune and be aware of what's going on and what's coming up next. Oh, excuse me, I have a frog in my throat. So in order to get the weekly invitations for the show and follow me, I encourage you to join me on Twitter at The Juicy Woman. My intention for you is that as you tune in each week, I'm here to hold a space for you to feel and be more powerful in your life. This week, we're going to be talking about how you see yourself. The actual invitation was body hating. Who's that fat and ugly woman in the mirror? Oh, man, if I had a quarter for every time I said that to myself. I want to hear from you, though. This is not about me. It's about you. This is a live call-in show, so please call in and ask your questions. The number is 760-888-5736. How many times do you find yourself staring at your bathroom mirror or your bedroom mirror or just a mirror that you pass through the day and hating your body and blaming it for every single thing that's going on that's not right with your life? How do you feel about that? Are you frustrated with the way that you look? Are you disgusted when you look in the mirror? Let me tell you, I'm a gal with a lot of experience in feeling badly about myself. All kidding aside, having experienced a lot of abuse, I walked around for years feeling shameful about my body. I didn't realize it, but those feelings of shame got reinforced, and later on, they generalized themselves to feelings of unworthiness. The way that it panned out in my life was that I had a tendency to be a big-time people-pleaser. I just wanted everybody to like me because I equated rejection with being unwanted and unloved. So my mistake was that I made the mistake of giving people a whole lot of inches and having them take a ton of miles. I know how you know. I know that you know what that looks like. But probably the worst of it was that I saw firsthand how this kind of crummy, victim-y thinking hits you dead square in the pocketbook. And I have learned my lesson, and I'm here coming back stronger than ever to teach other women. That's why I'm a very, very strong, crazy, powerful advocate on speaking. I'm looking for every cause, speaking out on behalf of causes that educate the public on violence against women. You see, emotional abuse is just as caustic as sexual, and it can pummel you down to the ground and make you believe that you're worth nothing. Now, come on, guys, I want to hear from you, 760-888-5736. Call me. And also, we have a chat feature now. So if you want to log on to the chat, you have to go onto blogtalkradio.com/the-juicy-woman. And then just come and chat with me. The good news is, you can change the way you feel, and it starts with seeing yourself differently. So let me ask you, when you look in the mirror, do you love what you see? Oh, hormonal hit me at once. You know, research shows that nearly 4 out of 5 American women today say they hate their bodies. You realize that's 80% of the female population in the entire United States? Are you one of them? Is that the way that you feel? Oh my gosh, I have to share a story of what happened to me this week. You remember last week I had told you that I had gotten a new computer and we were not making fast friends because Windows 8 is so different from what I'm used to. Windows 7, Windows XP, I yearn for the days of Windows 95. But anyway, everything is so different and I have been having so much difficulty with the computer. I've been through the week, I've been on the phone with so many reps trying to get information, and for some reason, it's just not sticking. It's not working out for me. So the computer and I still remain enemies. I have been really frustrated by this, and for me, a big resonant thread for me throughout a lot of my life is that I felt stupid. You know, the dumb blonde stereotype? Well, I've been called that a number of times. So that really hit. And I kept saying to myself, what's the matter with you, Andrea? Are you stupid or something? Why can't you get this? You know, other people can figure this out and pick it up and no problem. But it wasn't working out for me. The other day, I think last night, actually, after a week of feeling so frustrated and wanting to kill the computer and feeling like an idiot, I look at the bathroom mirror and I look at myself and I say, oh my God, you fat house. What the hell happened to you, Andrew? You look disgusting. You look so old. You look so fat. You look so lumpy. What happened to you? And there was the part of me on the inside that was hurting so much from hearing myself say this. But then there was the other part of me, thank God, that said, whoa, 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 we're not going to play this game. And then I realized that I was going down a very, very slippery slope. Have you ever done that? Where you're standing and you're looking at yourself in the mirror and you're just bashing yourself 5 ways to till Tuesday, you are just hating on yourself, picking yourself apart, whether it's because you're looking at your wrinkles or your thighs or your jiggly butt, it doesn't matter. When you stand and you look at yourself or you stand in judgment of yourself, you are putting yourself down and making you feel about as tall as the sidewalk. The thing is, we can't see ourselves as we really are, or even the way others see us, because we're only seeing an interpretation of reality, not what's really there, because it's impossible to objectively see yourself. It's like trying to see your own nose. It just doesn't work. I had explained to you before that our perceptions are colored and filtered by our experiences, and let's think of it in terms of when you have like the carnival glasses, the kaleidoscope. Okay, so imagine that you have blue glasses and your family is a blue family and things have always been blue. And no matter what happens in the world, if you're wearing these blue glasses, everything is going to be tinted blue. If you come from a pink family, and everything has always been pink, and you're wearing these pink glasses, everything that you see is going to be pink. Now, imagine if I gave you one of those kaleidoscope glasses where you could see blues and pinks and yellows and greens and oranges. Bam! All of a sudden, you see everything differently. Well, that's a big part of what the purpose of this show is. To expand your perspective, to expand your thinking, to help you to see yourself in a different way. I started this whole journey because of the fact that I hated my body so much. And as I have found and talked to other women, I know that I am not unique in this. There are so many of my clients who struggle with body image issues, And the unbelievable thing is, what I've learned, is that it's all a lie. All those years that you've spent trying to fix yourself through dieting and weight loss and doing everything you possibly can to change what you eat and be good and all of that, it's a waste of your time. Why? You must be furious with me. Well, the reason why, and the reason why you've probably experienced the same thing as me, which is the rebound, where after you lose some weight, bam, it just pops right back on. Within 5 years, you regain everything. The reason why is because if you don't handle the emotions that are triggering your urge to continually eat and look for food for comfort, you will never, ever break out of the mold of using food. I want you to know that in order to change the way that you eat, in order to change the way that you view food, in order to change the way that you view your life, you have to be open to seeing new perspectives. Come on, let's talk about new perspectives. Call me. 760-888-5736. Let me put that into practical context in terms of the glasses, because maybe I left you scratching your head and you're saying, what are you talking about, Andrea? Well, one of my clients had really strict parents when she grew up, and she didn't have much time or freedom to enjoy her life because her parents were so rigid and they were so worried and overprotective of her. She didn't get a chance to do anything. She didn't get to join clubs. She didn't get to go dating. None of these things. So soon after she left the house, what happened was she went a little haywire, especially in terms of food, because her parents thought that she was getting chubby. They really made her crazy in terms of, no, you can't eat that. You can't eat this. No, no, no. Cut the steak off of that, you know, cut the fat off of the steak. There are so many ways that when we're restricted, we act out. We want to take control of an uncontrollable situation. And many times the way it shows up is rebellion. Instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to help you to see your situation, whatever it is, to change the way that you see it so that you can respond differently. That's where the power is. It's in changing your response to whatever it is that's going on. Now, I want to slip back a little bit more and talk about my experience. No, actually, before that, let me tell you a little bit more about self-image and how it works. You know, we've talked about the fact that your self-image is really the compilation of all of your experiences. Everything that's gone on in your life has kind of cemented itself and found its home inside of you. And in every cell of your body, you carry all of that with you. It's like a database. And in order to feel good about yourself, you have to have experiences that are in line with giving you reasons to feel good about yourself. If you're somebody who hasn't had a lot of those kinds of experiences, you'll tend to not feel good about yourself. So come on, call me. This is a live call-in show, 760-888-5736. Now, the thing is, in order to be happy, really, really happy, and to have a great, satisfying, rich, fabulous life, you have to feel good about yourself. It's this crazy catch-22, because if you don't feel good about yourself, you're not going to go for it full out. You're not going to feel deserving of success. You're going to stop yourself from, you know, making that appointment or keeping... making that phone call or doing the things that you need to have the best life possible. If you don't feel good about yourself, you'll let people put you down. You'll be okay with, you know, settling. It's a job that you hate, but, oh, it pays the bills. That's something that somebody would do if they feel conflicted about wanting more or having more. So there's an image of yourself that you're carrying around, and that is your self-image. It's the image that you hold of who you are and what you're capable of. When your self-image is intact, you feel great and you're secure and, my gosh, you could get through anything. But when something happens to shake you up or threaten you, you become insecure. My situation is, you know, if you've been abused or hurt or criticized or teased, that tends to kind of come up and it hits you in unexpected ways. Depending upon the way that you give meaning to those experiences, you'll either fall into the pit of feeling sorry for yourself or feel like, wow, I got past it. I can do it. Come on now, call me, 760-888-5736. So there you are, feeling that feeling of anger and hatred toward your body, and you're standing and you're looking at yourself, and you're picking apart every single thing that you think is wrong. Do you think that that has an effect? Do you think that that's going to affect your behavior in any way? Do you think that that will have an impact on the choices that you make going forward? You better believe it, baby. It is unbelievable how it affects you. When you tell yourself, I'm a fat, ugly pig. Look at these wrinkles. They make me look like an old woman. Who can love me like this? She's more beautiful than me. I'll never be young again. I lost my beauty at such and such an age. You know, all those stupid loopy things that we say as women. What this does is it drags you down and makes you feel horrible about yourself. Have you ever heard of a man named Dr. Maxwell Maltz? He was a plastic surgeon, and he used to perform facelifts. He was also the author of the book Psycho-Cybernetics. What he did was he did something that was so groundbreaking. He's the person who is responsible for the whole discovery of the meaning and the power of the self-image and how it influences every aspect of our life. In his 60s, in the 1960s, he was 61 years old when he wrote his first book. Oh my gosh, he is my role model, my rock star. But anyway, he went on to become a self-improvement phenomenon with that book. Do you know he sold over 30 million copies to date? You can't even pick up any kind of a self-improvement book or program without the authors referring back to Dr. Maltz's findings. He's the pioneer. He started everything. One of the things that he said that he found through his own trial and error experience is that the self-image is changed, for better or worse, not by intellect alone, nor by intellectual knowledge, but by experiencing. That means, let me just grab a sip of water. And if you have some water, I suggest that you take some too. Hydration is really important. Okay. What that means is that in order for you to think and feel differently about your body, you have to start being able to see yourself doing things differently. At the core, his ideas really focus on visualizing your goals. It's really the secret behind the movie, The Secret. Now, here's how everything started with him. Before he wrote Psycho-Cybernetics, that's a mouthful, Dr. Maltz noticed that many times after he performed a cosmetic procedure, and it was successful according to his, you know, his expertise, his patients would continue to go on and on and obsess about what was wrong with their nose or their face or their chin or whatever, even though, this is the crazy thing, even though they agreed with him when he asked them if everything was done to their satisfaction, they said yes. After examining several cases, he noticed that there was a parallel. Each of those patients who said that cosmetic surgery did nothing for them, they had very low self-esteem. Down deep, they felt that there was nothing that could be done to correct their flaws. One day, Dr. Maltz had a brainstorm, and he realized that what was really needed was a perception correction. He made a deal with one of his patients. His name was Jack, who... Jack was really obsessing about his crooked nose. He was a salesman, and it was really important to him to feel great and be confident. Dr. Maltz said that he would not consent to operating on Jack again until Jack took a very, very important step. He agreed with him that if he wanted him to do the operation and to redo it, to his satisfaction, he would gladly do it. But he said, under one condition. He wanted him to use a process of visualization. And he said it would take Jack 21 consecutive days to complete the process. If Jack visualized himself in that way for 21 days, the purpose of it was to change the way that Jack saw himself. He was going to recreate his distorted self-image using the visualization. If after that time Jack was still unsatisfied with his nose, he would do the surgery. Well, 21 days, every single day, Jack visualized himself as confident, as going out there, looking for new accounts, talking to people, meeting people, giving them a firm handshake, and getting the money, closing the deal. At the end of 21 days, Jack was so happy with his nose that he didn't even want the surgery. The moral of the story is that Dr. Maltz discovered through the trial and error that you can change your self-image. And the thing is, it starts with changing the way you see yourself. You know, I know that, come on, first, I want you to call me. My number is 760-888-5736. I want to talk and I want to have a discussion with you about how you feel, the way that you feel about yourself is affecting your eating. How is it affecting your relationships? How is it affecting the choice of your career? How much money you make? Let's dig deep. Come on. For me, I know that my emotional eating has always been a way of, trying to feel better about myself. It's been so important to me to create a circle of safety and bring a sense of peace and joy that has long been missing from my life. And I have used food for that in so many ways, for so many reasons. But when I learned about Dr. Maltz and the things that he has done, most importantly, really held in my heart this whole meaning of you can change your self-image by changing your experiences. It's really, it's a combination platter. Back to the food again. Okay, it is. It's a two-pronged approach. It's one, you change the way you see yourself. But that's also dependent upon changing the way that you see yourself being in the world. Okay? If you feel that you lack confidence, if you feel that you're shy, if you're uncomfortable speaking up and asking for what you want, what I would tell you to do as your coach is to lower the bar. Don't just go, you know, full steam ahead and jump in and say to your boss, I want a raise. No. We're going to lower the bar and we're going to make it impossible for you not to succeed. First, I would ask you to visualize yourself doing that. As you visualize yourself doing the things that scare the bejesus out of you, that's when you will start to see yourself being willing to do those things. Now, what happens is in the process of this all, you'll become a different person. For me, the more I have imagined seeing myself in places where I was afraid or didn't feel comfortable, by taking risks and becoming more of the person that I want to be, I've put myself in a place of having more self-respect and compassion for who I was. Now, really, I want you to get this, because when you see yourself in a way that is different from who you believe yourself to be, you'll look back and you'll say, whoa, I have come so far. As you start taking those steps and doing those scary things. So now, let me give you a little bit more insight into the story of, you know, my incident of my body hating episode with my mirror. So there is this compassionate part in me that really knows, because of all that I've learned, all of this stuff that is true, that our thoughts really do count, and we need to look at the things that we're thinking and kind of analyze them. And here I was in this place where I was just spewing venom, so disgusted and so angry with myself. And it was like the old Andrea, putting myself down for being overweight. Yes, I am. It's undeniable. I am overweight, maybe even obese. But that's not something that's going to change today. I'm making small changes and more in different choices that will move me towards being healthier. Whether that ends up with weight loss or not, that's I don't know. But I'm no longer looking at weight loss as my goal. So I tend to be a lot more compassionate toward myself, realizing that it is so hard being an overweight woman in this society. Constantly, you know, dealing with other people's scrutiny and frustration and just not feeling good. So last week, I had a fabulous opportunity to the Westchester's there was a Westchester Women's Summit, and there were a bunch of policy and lawmakers and the movers and shakers in Westchester County. And I was very excited to be there. And I represented myself by participating in several small groups. And one of the groups that I participated in was violence against women. I gave them my insights on what I've discovered as a woman who's struggled with abuse and lived to tell about it. And what I now know and what I would do differently. As part of that, I offered my services to a domestic battered women's shelter, and they were very excited, and it was fabulous. At the time, I felt great about it. I was incredibly confident. But as I stepped back and I looked at myself in the mirror and I saw my arms like huge football players and my stomach was tremendous and all that, I realized, whoa, that's the old self-talk that comes from the illusion that your body is the problem. It's not that. What's really bothering you, Andrea? And then I said to myself, sweetie, you know what's really bothering you. You are scared to death to work at that battered women's shelter because you don't want to deal with the fears and the triggers of things coming up again. As I thought about that, it was almost like this huge rush of confidence came over me, and I saw myself, yeah, I was still overweight, looking at myself in the mirror, but I realized it's okay because I have what I need. I have the tapping. In the same way that I manage my own stuff, I can share what I know with others. And I started to realize that the real reason I was pounding myself and making myself feel bad for being fat was because I was scared. So I started tapping. And I started, and let me explain to you that the compassion, although it came, it didn't make the fears go away. So there was still a lot of fears to deal with. And I started tapping. And I started, what I mean by tapping, for those of you who don't understand, tapping is a really simple procedure which is based on the science of acupuncture, and that's married with psychology, the best of psychology, where you think about and you hold in mind whatever it is that's bothering you at the same time that you're tapping on acupressure points. Let me give it to you, quick and dirty, simple. All you have to do is take your dominant hand and you place it over your heart, over your upper chest. In the same way that you would pledge allegiance. So you tap on there and you say whatever is on your mind. Don't clean it up. I give you your cursing coupon. You say whatever is on your mind. Well, come on, gals. Give me a call. My number is 760-888-5736. I want to hear from you. And the stuff that came from me was a lot of fear and a lot of anger because it sucks to be an expert in this area where your feelings are so intertwined with your expertise. It really kind of brings you down to a level of down-to-earthedness that other people, other service providers, do not grapple with. But I do. And that's what makes me so profoundly compassionate in dealing with my clients who have struggled with situations of abuse. So as I start to think, as I started to flood myself with all of the reasons why I was afraid and all of the anger that I felt. And this is what I want you to do. Take that dominant hand and you just tap lightly on that part of your upper chest. Okay, let's see. Let me back it up a little bit. Imagine where a man would, where the knot of a man's tie would end up, just about where the Adam's apple is. Drop down about an inch or so, and right along the clavicle where the collarbone is, to the left or right, the side doesn't matter. You could do both sides. You could do one side. You just tap on that area. If tapping isn't pleasant for you, then you can just go ahead and massage it. If that doesn't do it for you, just gently touch it. It is so profound, it works no matter which way. It's kind of like if your car won't start and you have jumper cables, it puts you right back into a place where it's like a reset. Excuse me. So what I want you to do is I want you to keep this in mind as a very, very practical point. The next time that you find yourself in a similar position where you're banging on yourself and you're pummeling yourself to the ground, either with words or thoughts, whatever, I want you to just tap on that spot or touch it, hold it, whatever feels right to you. And just go on and say what you're saying. It doesn't matter. Because your brilliant subconscious mind, your inner nurturer, your inner protector, that part of you that loves you so much, you'll get this insight where you'll realize, whoa, what am I thinking? I'm not that bad. I'm so much more than my body. That's the whole purpose of this, is to help you to realize that it takes a change of thought. And the way that you can change your thought is by changing the energy in your body. In the course of doing the research for my book, I had interviewed several women who were contributors on the show How to Look Good Naked, and I'll be having several of them here as my guests. One of them who's going to be coming up, her name is Gray Drake. Gray is a fabulous woman who is, at the time, she really struggled with the way that she saw her body. But the funny thing is, if you or I or anybody else would have looked at Gray, who I think she's like 5'10" and she's like a size 8 or something like that, a tiny lady, well, tall, but slender, we would not see the hatred that she felt for her body. We would not see the obsession that she felt, the anger, the disappointment. In the course of being on the show and meeting Carson Kressley and getting to learn to see her body from other people's perspectives, to be able to view it in a more loving and compassionate way, her all of the feelings that she had about her body being something wrong with it completely changed. Because in the same way that Dr. Maltz gave Jack that homework assignment for 21 days because he knew he needed a perception correction, that's what I'm giving to you. I'm giving you the ability to be able to change your perception at any moment, at any time. The thing is, we always have a choice. It may not seem like it, but we really do. And I want you to know that food is not the enemy, and neither is your body, but the stress is. Because it's the stress that goes on in your life that triggers that alarm switch, that red alert sense that, oh my God, everything's going wrong. What's wrong with me? I'm a horrible person. All of the fear and anxiety and insecurity and sadness, all that messy stuff. It all gets triggered. So what I'm going to offer you to do is in the same way that I showed you how to just tap on your collarbone, whenever anything is bothering you, that's your go-to. That is your new go-to. Whenever, let's just say you're upset about something, or you're tense, or you're nervous about something, and you can't help it, but you're thinking like all of these negative thoughts, and you're fearful, and you're worried, is it going to work out, am I going to be okay, you know, horrible things can happen, this is your go-to. tapping on that spot. What I do is when I'm feeling that way, I could kind of feel it in my stomach, and it usually hits me in the early morning when I'm just waking up. I can just sense like, ugh. Okay, instead of taking that and saying, okay, game over, day, you know, the day is gone, might as well just stay in bed. No, no, no. I sit down in a quiet place, and I do what is called a tapping sandwich. And the tapping sandwich is just venting whatever it is that's on my mind, whatever thoughts. Maybe you've had a dream, and it's not quite crystallized, but it was like a borderline nightmare, or you're afraid of something, or whatever it is. When you tap on that spot and you vent and you say what it is that's really, really frightening you or angering you, the energy around it will change. Then I recommend, as you did last week, and that is to sit quietly in silence. Some people may want to pray. You may want to meditate. You may want to just sit and listen, you know, to your thoughts, whatever it is. If you still feel unsettled and you don't feel comfortable doing that, and those upsetting thoughts are still bombarding you, then by all means, go back to tapping. But I really want to encourage you to continually use tapping to manage your emotions. You will be shocked and simply amazed to see how your intentions, how your feelings around food and your body will shift. And instead of setting, you know, I know that, you know, we're still just a little bit after New Year's, and there's so many people who are feeling pressure to lose weight. I'm going to give you a new goal, and that's to start to slow down. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but I tend to struggle with, you know, getting into this place where I just, like, inhale food. I eat way too fast in stressful situations. And so what I do is I use the tapping to rein myself in. I'll sit and do some tapping before that. Otherwise, I'll just sit and be, you know, shoveling food in, and before I know it, I'm feeling horrible. So the new way of measuring how you feel, I want you to start to look and see how you're relating to food. Are you taking your time? Are you enjoying the food? Does it taste good? Are you choosing the foods that you want? These are all things that I want you to think about. Remember, you always have a choice. After I did the tapping and I vented all of the fears that I had, and I realized that the reason I was upset with my body was because I felt out of control. I looked around at my environment and I realized, okay, Andrea, it's no wonder you're feeling out of control. I got to tell you, I'm not the neatest person. I can be Oscar the Pig or whatever. House cleaning does not come as second nature to me. So at the point when, you know, the dust, you could see the dust or the cobwebs or the spiders or, you know, whatever. But anyway, I looked at different places in the house that had been neglected. And one of them, I'll be honest with you, is my office. I have been getting into this really bad habit of starting to do filing, and then the rest of the files I'll leave on the floor. And damn if it isn't making my life hell. So I realized, okay, yes, I'm having trouble with my computer, but I'm going to figure this out. I put my favorite paper organization software system, Paper Tiger, and I set to work, and I did it. I got those, you know, papers under control. There's still more to do. But what I want you to do is I want you to look around at whatever is going on in your life and with the passion and the fire of I can't take it anymore, I want you to realize that if you continue to let those spaces and those gaps and those holes in your life rule you subconsciously, because if you're frustrated by them, there's no doubt you're going to run to food. There's no doubt. If it's not food, if food is not your go-to, if it's surfing the web or staying home all day and watching television or, you know, spending too much money shopping, getting into debt, whatever is your go-to stress relief method, you're going to need it. I want you to really focus on the things that you can control and change your response to the things that are going on in your life. Your Juicy Woman Challenge this week is the next item on my checklist, and that is what's on your bug list. As you visit me on Twitter, at the Juicy Woman, you'll find that I'm offering a survey for you to fill out. I really want you to share your thoughts with me. As my gift to you for completing it, you'll get a free download of my book, Love in the Skin You're In. This is a $10 value. In the survey, I want to find out from you how I can continue to serve you. In the coming weeks, I'm going to be relaunching my Curvy and Confident Coaching Club, and I want to find out what preferences you have. What do you want? Until next Wednesday, take good, good care, and let's stay connected on Twitter, at The Juicy Woman. I can't wait to share more. I love you. Have a great, great day. Bye, Juicy Woman.